All right, well, we'll start now and we'll start with our meditation together. So settling yourself into your seat. Relaxing the body, the mind, and the heart. And at the same time, an alert, present moment energy. And those of you that have been attending our Sunday Sangha regularly know that we've been exploring the four foundations or four domains or establishments of mindfulness. And we've been, for the last 4 weeks, I think, 3 weeks or 4 weeks, exploring mindfulness of the body, in the body. In various ways. This morning, we'll move on to the second establishment or the second domain of mindfulness. Mindfulness of feelings. And in the Pali language, Vedana is the word for this. And I'm going to give a brief reflection, which will morph, we could say, into some instructions for our sit. Somebody has their sound on and is moving around. If you could please mute it, we would appreciate it. I don't know who it is, but thank you. So, mindfulness of feelings, the second domain or the second establishment of mindfulness. This is a particularly illuminating aspect of our practice towards directing our natural inclination for ease and happiness and contentment to the right place and in the right way. From the perspective of the Buddha Dhamma, these feelings, as they're called, or Vedana in Pali, as I've already mentioned, are very simply classified into three groups: pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling, or neutral feeling. It's not emotional feelings. In the Buddha Dhamma, emotional states of mind, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral feelings. These feelings, this Vedana, arises in response to either physical or mental stimuli. All the physical and each of the physical and mental stimuli that we experience. Every single experience that comes in through each of the sense doors, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling and thought, provides some specific information to the mind. And as I've mentioned, there are various feelings that occur through the contact of each of the sense door experiences. often attachment, emotional attachment, to the sense world is a result that follows along directly from these feelings. So, for instance, if one experiences a pleasant feeling in relationship to a physical or mental contact with some object, for most people, there's an almost immediate emotional attachment to the feeling, the pleasant feeling in this case, or the object, or both. And of course, when the pleasant feeling subsides, which it always does, there's often a desire to get it back or to get another one. And so what's called a craving for comes up. And then right away, there's this state of dissatisfaction arising. And so what's happened? Our peace, our sense of well-being is gone. And of course, the nature of dissatisfaction is agitation to varying degrees, subtle or not so subtle. There's this kind of inner restlessness. And in contemporary language, we call it stress. And then when we experience an unpleasant feeling in relationship to some physical or mental object, contact with some physical or mental object, most of us very quickly experience some degree of emotional dislike, some form of aversion, maybe fear or boredom or hatred or maybe anger or disappointment. And we might want to get rid of whatever it is. Or we might want to get away from the object. And we might want to get rid of and get away from the feeling, or both. And so what happens? What's happened? Again, our mental peace is disturbed. And again, we're feeling stress. When the feeling is neither pleasant nor unpleasant or neutral, I think for many, many people, there's a tendency to ignore what's going on when it's neutral, when it's not pleasant or unpleasant. So we don't connect with the present moment's experience. And maybe this is accompanied with a subtle or maybe not so subtle state of not wanting, meaning not wanting to see reality as it is in this particular moment. I think it's quite safe to say that most of us are intense experience junkies. If it's intense, we're likely to pay attention, whether it's pleasant or whether it's unpleasant. And if it's not particularly intense, I think often many of us don't notice. There's this sense of, oh, nothing's really happening. Without an intimate and careful, mindful attention to these feelings, they have the potential to disturb us emotionally. They have the potential to make us suffer. And I think one of the most amazing things about these feelings is that we very often forget that they change. The very same object that maybe produced pleasant feelings in our mind, within moments, sometimes can produce unpleasant feelings in the mind. And of course, vice versa. And so again, we experience maybe attachment, maybe clinging, or various aversive states. We've forgotten that the feelings change quickly. Forgetting is the opposite of remembering. The remembering, to break that word down, remembering, the connection that mindfulness offers to see things just as they are. The potentially illuminating aspect of practice in relationship to cultivating a very careful and close, intimate attention to feelings is that it's at this point in our experience that we have the direct, immediate opportunity to drop our habituated reactions of attachment, clinging, and our habituated reactions of the various permutations of aversion. It's at this point in our experience of noticing the feelings of pleasant, the feelings of unpleasant, or the feeling of neutral, that we can, in moments, just see the phenomena, know the attendant feelings, and that just be that. Pulling out the thread of self, meaning I like, I want, I need, I must have, or I don't like, I hate, I don't want, and just simply, directly, and clearly see the phenomena, know the attendant feeling. And as I said, that just be that. In that moment, there's actually no mental suffering. The heart, the mind isn't disturbed. It's a moment of ease. It's a moment of peace. These feelings, this vedana, it's a particularly important mental factor in developing insight into the cause of suffering. Because these feelings are what condition our mind to hold on to the pleasant, or to push away, avoid, or ignore the unpleasant. Learning to mindfully, intimately observe feelings with more balance, more equanimity, and consequently less attachment, less aversion, and less identification is an important and very helpful door to open on our way out of suffering. So this second domain, or this second establishment of mindfulness, contemplation of the feelings simply in themselves, the feelings in the feelings. So we'll look at the feelings now in our practice. Settling into your meditation, your practice. And it's always helpful to begin with orienting the mindful attention to the breath, helping to gather in and settle the whole body, mind, heart continuum. So connecting with the breath wherever it is for you that it's most clearly and directly felt sensorially. And now opening up the field of mindful attention. Noting the changing physical and mental objects of your experience, whatever they are. And after each noticing or noting a physical experience, a mental experience, take note of the feeling tone of the experience. So opening up to Vedana, the feeling tone. Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Or is it neutral? And just hanging in with that, with your practice for a little while. Keeping it simple. No commentaries needed. It's not analytical. And now, giving mindful attention particularly to pleasant feeling tone in relationship to physical and mental phenomena that's occurring. Can you be with the bare experience of pleasant without greed arising, without any clinging arising, without any feeling of this is mine, this is me, I want this to stay, I want this always? Can you be with the bare experience of pleasant without greed, clinging, or even any identification arising? So just giving now specific mindful attention in this direction, the pleasant feeling tone of physical and mental phenomena that's showing up. And now letting go of the particular attention, mindful attention that you've been giving to the pleasant feeling tone. And we'll shift our practice to pay particular attention to the unpleasant feeling tone. The unpleasant feeling tone with experiences that may be unpleasant or elicit an unpleasant feeling tone in relationship to feeling mental and physical phenomena that's showing up. Through any of the six sense doors. So, mindfully noticing the unpleasant feeling tone. Can you be with the bare experience of unpleasant without any form of aversion arising? Just notice. Again, no commentary is needed. Self-judgment is not one bit helpful. Analyzing it all is also not helpful. So simply noticing unpleasant feeling tone, if and when it shows up, and noticing the reaction to it? Or is it just simply known as unpleasant? And now letting go of the particular attention to the unpleasant feeling tone of phenomena. And shift your mindful attention to pay particular attention to the neutral feeling tone of any particular physical or mental phenomena that's showing up. Can you stay with the bare experience of neutral without spacing out and without disconnecting? Do you actually notice any experiences that are really, truly neutral? And now letting go of the particular attention, mindful attention that you've been giving to the neutral feeling tone of experience. And coming back to the simple connection with the sensorial experience of an in-breath and an out-breath. Wherever it's most clearly and directly felt in your body. It's through our own direct experience that we come to understand the true nature of things, not through imagining or hoping for, not through philosophizing about or believing in. It can be helpful, I feel, to check in now and then to see if you're practicing in ways where you're really, truly moving towards the spiritual realization of the qualities of metta, compassion, joy, equanimity, wisdom, and peace. Practice that's subtly or sometimes more overtly rooted in various wrong ideas and misconceptions or misperceptions. This can become deeply rooted in the mind and accompany us along the way of our practice, sometimes for many years. A good question you might ask yourself now and then is this: am I looking in the right place and in the right way for the happiness that I'm seeking? May all of the wholesome energies and fruits that manifest through our practice serve with immeasurable impartiality, without bias, without prejudice, towards the welfare, the happiness, and the awakening of all beings everywhere. So I'd like to offer a reflection. If you need to stretch your body for a moment, please go ahead. Stand up, move your arms, your legs. If you need to do that, we'll take a moment. Stay mindful. Always mindful. Move your head around, stretch your neck, shoulders, arms, legs. So I'd like to offer a reflection this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening. This reflection comes from the teacher Stephen Levine, who is no longer alive. And this is an excerpt from his book called Healing into Life and Death. Some years ago during the Korean War, Paul Reps, the longtime meditator and writer, was trying to gain entrance into Japan so that he might spend some time studying and practicing at a Zen monastery in Kyoto. But at this time, Japan was being used as a military staging ground for the air battle and troop movement of the Korean War. Non-military Westerners were not given visas. Filing the necessary documents with the Asian immigration officer, he was told it would be not possible for him to visit Japan as he was not militarily allied. Sitting opposite the immigration officer, he turned his visa request over, and on the back he wrote, "Making a cup of green tea, I stop the war," and handed it back to the official across the desk. The immigration officer took a long look at the poem, reading it silently to himself. "Making a cup of green tea, I stop the war." Turning the paper over, he initialed approval for Rep's entry into Japan. Looking up, he said, "We need more people like you in our country right now." But what does this mean, to make a cup of green tea that stops the war? Reps wasn't being clever. He was being real. He was speaking of meeting the incessant struggle for control, our long-conditioned inner conflicts with something other than old minds, old ways of violence and victory, of mercilessness and inner strife. To make a cup of tea that doesn't continue the war, that doesn't deepen the conflict, the impatience, the waiting, the desires for things to be otherwise, one simply lets the water boil. Have we ever simply let the water boil? Have we ever simply been there standing in the body with nowhere else to go, open to just this much? Or are we thinking the water boiling, expecting it to boil a boil, imagining it boiling, impatient if it's not boiling? Have you ever boiled a cup of water without goals, without needing the water to be different, without waiting? Waiting is war. Impatience is war. The moment is unsatisfactory and there's no peace to be found. The war continues in the mind, the urgency that the moment is not enough, and where is my tea? Making a cup of tea, I feed the war. More conflict, more an idea of how things should be, and less space for how things are. Not leaning into the next moment, not struggling to create a satisfactory presence, we sense how in just this much is all we'll ever need. Sitting at the table, noticing, would I like a cup of tea? Noticing how the mind, body thinks a cup of tea would taste so good right now. Watching the motivation to create tea, not I have to have a cup of tea right now. That's war. The frozen waters of demanded pleasure. That's more tension, more conflict, the same old stuff. Noticing standing up from the table. Noticing walking to the cabinet. Noticing expectation. Expectation is war. Expectation is suffering. Expectation is disappointment. But instead, just being there. No conflict. No rummaging through the various parcels of tea to discover that which would most stimulate the palate. But instead, letting the tea choose you. Allowing the tea to come into your hand instead of grasping at it. Making a cup of green tea, I stop the war. Watching, noticing, tasting the desire for tea as the hand extends to the teapot. Feeling the cold metal of the teapot handle and the warm flesh of the hand. Feeling the texture of the handle. Nothing else to do, nowhere else to be, just this moment forever. Just this suchness. feeling the floor beneath your feet as you walk to the sink. The arm extending, feeling the weight of the teapot as the hand reaches towards the faucet, feeling the coldness of the faucet, receiving the cold. Nothing else need be otherwise. The sound of water as it splashes into the pot, noticing how the sound changes as the pot fills, watching the expectation of full pot, noticing the subtle fear that the water might overflow, reaching up to turn off the cold water, feeling the condensation on the handle, hearing the creak of the washer as the handle closes off the water flow. The hand moving to the handle, feeling the musculature of the fingers as it curls around. The extended arm now carrying greater weight than a moment before as the full pot is moved to the stove. Hearing the pop of the gas as it ignites beneath the teapot. Perhaps feeling the heat as it curls around the pot and reaches the hand. Noticing the hand withdraw. Noticing, too, any subtle fear of being burned. Staying fully in the moment. Nothing extra. Nothing of the past dragged into the present to filter this moment. Just the moment as it is. Just standing. Just the sound of the air bubbles released from the cold water as it heats. Feeling the legs lifting and moving as they walk across the room toward the tea canister. The eyes touching the canister. Noticing recognition, noticing desire, the canister in hand, the glass bottle cold, tea and I are here, nothing else. Feeling the muscles as they lift the bottle of tea from the kitchen counter, hearing the clink of the glass as it's moved from the tile, just this much. Turning the top of the canister of the tea, feeling the muscles, the extensors and flexors in the arm, feeling the fingers, feeling the different textures between the glass and the metal lid. Opening. The aroma of tea in the nostrils. Just sniffing the tea. Just appreciation. Spoon in dark tea, shiny. The present moment received as it is. No war. No being elsewhere. All of it right now. Putting tea in cup, clink of spoon, hand retracting. Moving back to the kitchen chair, feeling the knees bend, feeling the weight of gravity on the body, feeling the cushions come up to support this heavy body. Hearing the water boiling, nothing else to do but be. Then steam. The mind's intention to stand, to take the water to the tea. Just water boiling, just standing, just a handle felt, now warm in the hand. Just the muscles pulled on by the weight of the full pot, just the feet against the floor walking to the table. Just the pot put down safely where nothing will burn or be scorched. Noticing intention. Feeling the changes in the musculature of the arms as the pot is tilted toward the cup. Just feeling the pot getting lighter as the water mixes with the tea. Just steam rising. Just tea. Nothing to be otherwise. Just the feel of the cold spoon in the hand. Just the sound of the spoon as it whisks the tea through the water. Just the fragrance of tea steeping. Each moment received as it is. Sufficient. Not drinking tea that is not yet made. Not more war. Just this much. Just the extraordinary spaciousness of nothing having to be any other way than it is. Standing there. You can't wait patiently. You are either waiting or you are patient. Patience is peace. Waiting is war. Not waiting for tea, not waiting for anything, not even waiting for this story to be over. Listening to this story, do you stop the war or do you continue it? Is this moment not quite enough or is it all of it? How much of this moment are you experiencing? Just recognizing another opportunity for healing. Just recognizing that tea is done, not, oh, a cup of tea at last. Just a cup of tea. Just another opportunity for healing. Just the hand reaching out to receive the handle of the cup. Just noticing hot. Noticing texture and fragrance. Just a cup of tea. Just this moment in newness. Just the hand touching the cup. Just the arm retracting. The fragrance increasing as the cup nears the lips. So present. Noticing the bottom lip receiving heat from the cup. The top lip arched to receive the fluid within. Noticing the first taste of tea before the tea even touches the lips. The fragrance and heat rising into the mouth. The first noticing of flavor. The touch of warm tea on willing tongue. The tongue moving the tea about in the mouth. The intention to swallow. The warmth that extends down into the stomach. What a wonderful cup of tea. The tea of peace, of satisfaction. Drinking a cup of tea, I stopped the war. So thank you for listening to the Dhamma from Stephen Levine this morning. And thank you for your practice. So I wanted to open up our time together today for questions, for sharing anything in relationship to your practice during this past week. Last week we had some guided practice with the elemental nature of the body. Maybe some of you practiced with that during the week. And anything about your practice this morning, or any questions you might have, comments, we have some time. I do want to make one quick announcement before we move on to our discussion, our Sangha exploration together. The retreat that I'm going to be offering in November, a 5-day online concentration retreat, some of you are actually registered for it. Some of you, I think, have been thinking about it. There are only 2 openings left. We were quite surprised it filled so quickly. So if anybody is considering attending that retreat, please let us know right away, and please send your application in with a deposit. It's a Dana retreat, so there's no set fee at all for this retreat. We are asking for a commitment through sending in a $125 deposit, which will actually be returned to you if you attend the retreat. So again, there's only 2 spaces left. And if anybody's interested, let us know and send your application in.
Mine is in the mail.
Yes, I know couple of them are in the mail, and I've already noted that you're on the list. But if you're interested and haven't put it in the mail yet, do let us know that you're going to put it. We will start a wait list, of course, and it's far enough away that might open up. So it's up to you. Okay, enough about that. So it's a wide open, usually I say a circle. When we're live, we're sitting in a circle at this point, but It's a wide open screen. How's that? Kind of weird. A wide open screen for people to speak, ask, share, etc. So please go ahead. Marcia. And do say your name when you just before you speak, and also let us know again, some of us, where you're from, where you're speaking from.
Marcia, I have a question.
Okay, Anne, and you Anne are there?
In Albuquerque.
Yes.
In Albuquerque. So during this guided practice that we did this morning or today, mm-hmm. When we got to trying to focus the attention on unpleasant.
Yes.
I was not having a lot of unpleasant.
Yeah.
And so I guess I didn't know what to do with my attention in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I found myself sort of scanning, looking around to see, is there anything unpleasant going on? And I didn't know if that was really, I didn't really understand the instruction, I guess, of what to do when there wasn't an unpleasant to focus on.
Okay. Good question. Yes. Some people might have the opposite experience. Nope, not enough pleasant or hardly any pleasant, but this case, unpleasant, not much of it. First to say that, and this isn't exactly what you asked, but often our expectation of unpleasant in this case, or pleasant, but in this case unpleasant, is quite an overt, obvious, unpleasant experience. Sometimes unpleasant might be quite subtle. So there might be just a little bit of a slight contraction in the mind and body in relationship to any particular experience. And it's very subtle, and we may not recognize it as slightly unpleasant. So I just mentioned that. As in a retreat setting, when one's much more concentrated and practice is ongoing for hours at a time, very subtle unpleasant shows up to people's surprise sometimes. So I just mentioned that. If there is nothing that there's any resistance to at all, be it subtle or more overt, any contraction against at all, be it subtle or overt, that's obvious, it's fine to, for instance, do a body scan. You mentioned doing a scan. You didn't say body scan particularly, but to do a body scan and slowly, not quickly necessarily, move through the body with mindfulness and see where there might be a little bit of contraction, resistance, judgment. All of that's unpleasant. It can be very subtle or not so. And then with mental experience, really being aware of what the mind states are that are coming up, noting them, whatever they are, and noticing the relationship to them. In this case, any moving away from slightly or not wanting to see, a little bit of resistance or, so in a sense, not scanning the mind, but really being attentive to what is arising and the quality of it, the tone of it, the particular state, and noticing the relationship to it. And if there's nothing at all, even slightly unpleasant, so there's nothing at all, even slightly unpleasant. That's how it is in some moments.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I would rephrase what I was doing. So when you were early on, when we were talking about when you were talking about kind of being aware of anything that was happening,
general,
and is it pleasant or unpleasant or neutral? I realize now that what I was doing when you were saying focus on the negative was
I don't use the word negative, if you've noticed.
I'm sorry. Unpleasant.
Let's not use that word because it has a huge connotation.
Okay. Yes. When I said scan, that probably wasn't a good choice of words. It was more like, okay, what is coming up? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I can hear the blinds rattling. Is mm-hmm. that unpleasant? No, that's neutral. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, there's a bird. Is that unpleasant? No, that's pleasant. Mm-hmm. It was instead of kind of saying, what is it? It was like kind of the same kind of open awareness, but saying, is that unpleasant? And if it was something that was unpleasant, then I would stick with that. Mm-hmm. But then like an itch, say, and then when that itch was gone, then I would sort of open it back up to what is it? And I would just sort of, whatever came up, I would just kind of evaluate it, if you will. Mm-hmm. And when it got to something unpleasant, I would stay with it until it changed or went away.
So, noticing your relationship to it is the most important thing.
Yes.
Not waiting for it to change, but noticing it change. Now, that's an interesting one right there. If you're waiting for it to change, for instance, an itch. We've all got them. We all get itches. Sometimes really intense itches. We can either be really mindful with it, and it's sometimes challenging, so it's unpleasant. Or we can be really mindful with it, kind of, sort of really mindful with it, and wait for it to stop, to change. Oh, relief.
So, yeah, again, a poor choice of words. I was just observing it change. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that it would, and I wasn't in a hurry for it to do so.
Okay.
So I was just watching it.
Okay, good. Well, I dare say that subtle, I do know, and I dare say for you probably, that subtle unpleasant experience does occur now and then. But you are either aware of it or not aware of it. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Austin Ravi.
Hello, good morning again.
Up north of Taos in the mountains there.
Yes, I'm about 20 miles north of the Taos Plaza, almost in Cuesta. Mm-hmm. In sitting with you and everyone week after week, the theme of accepting, allowing keeps returning. Mm-hmm. Non-rejecting, non-manipulating. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate, of course, Kyoto and green tea. That's a very, very pleasant subject for me. And seeing that accepting allows peace, mm-hmm. and not accepting, grasping, clinging, pushing, manipulating is a very subtle way of creating war, mm-hmm. within me and within my experience. And I found that's a very interesting perspective, because as I've learned Vipassana from Mountain Hermitage, I think the largest area that I was unaware of in myself was the neutral thoughts. Mm-hmm. And as you just mentioned, the very subtle, unpleasant thoughts. Mm-hmm. Because I think I agree with what you said earlier, that the big experiences capture the attention easily and are easy to work with. But all of those very subtle, neutral, Very tiny little things have been so easy to gloss over. And I realize how much armor that I've put on in myself to prevent myself from just experiencing the neutral, prevent myself from experiencing the neutral, because there's no pizzazz there.
Yeah. We are extreme experience junkies. I think it's pretty fair to say most of humans are, to varying degrees.
Yeah, and I even really noticed that with the way I had been working with stories, that I need to amp up the story to make it more interesting and exciting and dramatic and all of that. but to put all of that in terms of creating war. I mean, that's an extreme statement, so it kind of amps it up a little bit. But just listening to... was that Stephen Levine's writing that you were reading?
An excerpt from his book.
And he was married up here at Lama Foundation. So,
yes. He lives in New Mexico. Well, he's dead now, but he lived here for many years.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting, of allowing the experience to come to me, just really allowing, like right now when I curl my fingers a little bit, what is that feeling? And just the very subtle everyday experiences that I'm so used to not paying attention to, to just allow that attention to percolate to the surface, has been really helpful in all of these sessions. I mean, I was really pleasantly blown away by flowing as a way of connecting with the air elemental, hard, firm, as connecting with the earth elemental, and just finding how, you know, just those very simple and subtle phenomenons are always present, and how much effort I've put into not looking at them or experiencing them directly. So I want to thank you for helping me to open up to a whole nother level of subtlety that's ever present, ever aware with this human experience. It's meant
even more subtle levels, Austin Robbins.
Oh yeah. This is just now.
On we go, yes.
Yes, on we go. But really, thank you for helping, because I noticed that shift of perspective and awareness allows whole vast quantities of experience to be available. Things that I wasn't even aware of.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, thank you. So we have a little more time. I don't know that I announced this. I think I did not. I've changed the time a little bit for our Sunday meetings. I've added 15 minutes because we've never finished on time. Well, maybe when we first couple times we finished, I felt compelled to finish on time. But there was never enough time for discussion. And I feel like the discussions, the questions, the sharing is... every bit as important as our silent meditation and the reflections that are offered. So we have a little bit more time every Sunday now. So we have a little more time. Anybody else who would like to speak, please? Yes, Carol. And Carol, you are in. You're muted.
No, you're not. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
You're in Denver, right?
Yeah. So I had a mixture of, it was a sleepiness cocktail of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. I was just about falling asleep. No offense to you, I just didn't sleep at all.
I don't take it personally.
And so I was trying to locate and like, where is this sleepiness? And that was, it's really hard to discover that. I'm having a hard time working with that. So do you have some?
Yes, let's talk about sleepiness. That's a good thing. You're probably not the only one that has felt sleepy during our Sunday meetings at various times or at other times of sitting in meditation. First of all, I would say one of the things that is most important when you're doing some meditation practice and you're feeling sleepy is to take an interest in the experience of sleepiness. Yeah. Now that sounds like a contradiction, right? In a way, you're kind of groggy and loggy and slothy and torpory and it's hard to take an interest in that because it feels like it's sort of washing through you and over you and taking over. But if you take an interest in it, if you remember to take, the hardest part is to remember to take an interest in it, there's a little bit more energy right there because you've taken an interest in it. So taking an interest in the physicality of the experience, how does your body feel in particular areas, parts? What's the posture, just the simple posture? How's that? What does it feel like in the center of the body, the belly, the chest, the arms, head? Look around the face, the mouth, the musculature. Really, really take an interest. Well, right away, there's already way more energy there because you're taking an interest in this seemingly overwhelming experience of sleepiness. But it and you might really need some sleep, you know, who knows? You might need to take a nap after we're done talking here. But I can almost 100%, I never guarantee anything 100%, but, you know, 90% guarantee that there will be more energy available coming up in your whole body-mind continuum if you take a real interest in the experience of sleepiness rather than judging it. I hate this. This shouldn't be happening. I'm a bad meditator. There's a million other mind states and thoughts and judgments and evaluations that might come up. But accepting, again, as Ravi mentioned, accepting the fact that there's sleepiness. There's this experience of sleepiness and lethargy and sloth and torpor. This is what's happening. Oh, wow. Let's see. How does it feel? Where is it? What's take real interest in it. It is what your experience, what's being offered. So take a look and see what happens.
Okay. Thank you.
I think I've mentioned, I don't know if I have mentioned in our meetings, but certainly over the years of teaching, I've mentioned that sometimes the Buddha Dhamma, the practice and the teachings are sometimes, one of the definitions is that they're counterintuitive. Huh. I think that's a wonderful definition. And it's not negative. And it's not really counterintuitive. But it feels counterintuitive because why would I want to take an interest into this sleepy, lethargy, slothy, torpory experience? It's like just taking me over and I'm going to fall off my seat in a second and that's going to be the end of it for today. But take an interest in it. That's kind of what counterintuitive. We're developing a different, how do I want to say, a different approach to intuition. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? We have about a minute or two left now, that's all.
This is Mary in Tucson.
Uh-huh, Mary, where I have to find you, Mary. I know. There you are up there. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Yes. So as you were talking about sleepiness, I was reflecting on pleasantness and unpleasantness with regard to sleepiness. And mm-hmm. I was realizing that it seems like whether something is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral is in our mind. It may originate. The stimulus might be in the body. Mm-hmm. Like I've had an ache in my back the whole time. But it seems like, and that in itself is unpleasant. However, what the mind does with it seems like, I don't know if that, they're two different things. So I just wonder if you could talk a little about that, because I'm looking at that. Thank you.
Good point, yes. Now, first to say, back to Carol's sleepiness question and experience, some people find that sleepy, slothy, torpory, sleepy experience very pleasant, really pleasant. Some people find it really unpleasant. That's an interesting dichotomy right there. I'm not supposed to be sleepy when I'm meditating. It's really unpleasant to be sleepy when I'm meditating. Oh, I'm just loving this. I'm just going to curl right up and go to sleep. It feels so good. I don't, excuse my language, give a shit about meditating. I'm just going to go to sleep. This is what I really want to do right now. Yes, it's in the mind. Our relationship to experience is in the mind, and it can change. It can change from loving this cocoon of sloth and torpor and sleepiness and lethargy to taking an interest in it and it being not being something I love, but not being something I hate, but something I'm interested in. So the relationship changes. If we went through some other experiences, which we don't have time to do now, but many of our experiences, which you could think about, consider, you know, at some point today or in the next few days, where you've had a really pleasant experience of some sort. And then what? Does it last forever? Well, we could all say, no, of course not. Then is there an unpleasant relationship to the fact that it changed? Or sometimes even the exact experience can be pleasant or unpleasant, depending on conditions, depending on the particulars of the mind at that time. So it is in the mind, yes. Our relationship to our experience is in the mind, and we, through our practice and our incredible capacity for mindful presence, can change. That can change. So we actually have to stop. I'm going to leave it at that. You can contemplate that over the week. Enjoy your practice this week. Maybe continuing with, you can combine practices. Continuing with the elemental nature, mindful awareness of the elemental nature of the body in the way that we worked with it last week, and noticing pleasant, unpleasant in relationship to all of that. So have a really fine week of practice. See you next week. Bye-bye.